Vision Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining me. Today is February 23rd, 2017. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for joining me. I had scheduled a guest. His name is Shaziz. He's an online YouTuber who does all kinds of odd experiments about creating energy and providing us energy. And we did not connect this morning. Something went wrong with the line, so we weren't able to connect. I sent him my call-in number in case he gets a chance to call us in. So if you're listening, Shaziz, please give us a call. The number 718-717-8106. And in that vein, same thing for any of the listeners. If you guys want to call in and speak with me today, the number is 718-717-8106. And anybody who's listening to this show knows that that's actually not that big a deal to me, that I could really probably talk for several hours. So I'm just going to give you some of my thoughts and share some news and have a put some thoughts, my spin on some of this information that's being told to us that is impacting our lives. First, I wanted to read you a poem that hangs in my office because it's been up on my office walls for quite a long time. It's a poem I read a long time ago that it's kind of sappy. It was written by Edgar A. Guest, and I don't even know if that's a real person, but many of you will hear this, and I'm just going to read it. When things go wrong as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow, you may succeed with another blow. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup, and he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of clouds of doubt, and you never can tell how close you are, it may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit. So can you tell the title of that poem? It's called Don't Quit. So I love that poem because it encourages us to just keep on even in the face of adversity. And frankly, we're facing some pretty serious adversity right now. I think these protests are hilarious. These people that voted for Donald Trump are now like, what? You guys are implementing exactly what he said he was going to do? It's totally hilarious. What did they think would happen when Paul Ryan said they wanted to gut the Department of Education and the EPA? They were serious. They want to gut these things. And I'm not at all a fan of the ACA. I personally think that we need to have Medicare for all. So, on the fly, I have pulled out some books that I'm going to be referencing for the next hour. My three of my favorite books that are called Population Control Through Nuclear Pollution by Dr. Tamplin and Goffman, The Poison Conspiracy by Carl Grossman, and The Irreverent Illustrated View of Nuclear Power by Dr. John Goffman. But I thought what I'd do is get to the real news. And I actually looked at the NRC website to see what we could talk about there. It's very interesting. There are comments for open for comments. The period comment is open. Let's see, what do we have going on? The comments on rulemaking documents, power reactor extensions, that's all closed. You have revision of fee schedules. We could talk about the fees. That closes on 3-1. Application licenses and amendments. These are very interesting. Beaver Valley Power Station Unit 2. Consideration of approval of transfer of license and conforming amendment. That stays open till yesterday. That's closed. So what closes today is South Carolina Electric and Gas Company, South Carolina Public Service Authority, Virgil C. Summer Nuclear Station Units 2 and 3 License Amendment Application. I'll open that up in a new link and see what that looks like. And I'll bet you 2-1 they give us no information. This is how this agency works. Because they're really simply a rubber stamp for the nuclear industry. They've done nothing to help protect us whatsoever, in my view. I know Donna Gilmore says we need to be nice to these people, but honestly, they're the reason that this agency has lied to our elected officials. This agency has lied to our president. This agency continues to cover up and protect the nuclear monsters, and I call them monsters. Because what kind of people would actually have a business where they know they're going to kill their own employees and damage their own employees' children? That to me is a shock. So if anybody wants to give us a call in, it's 718-717-8106. I think I've figured out all the issues with the Skype, so I think the phone calls will work. So hold on. Well, let's see if this opened up and what it tells us on this. South Carolina, the Virgil C. Sumner. Comments open now. So, what are the additional comments that they're asking us? It's additional. It's been going on for quite a while since 9:30 of 2015. That's when the first one was started, and then they had an application amendment on number in 310, application amendment on 9-2, application amendment on 9-15, and then an application amendment on 124. So that does not sound good. What are they having to keep fixing? And this is the weird part. These government things are opening super slow. So let me hop over to the Hill. When I realized that Shaziz was not going to be able to join us, I actually hopped online and started looking around. And I always like to go to the Hill, to the policy section. You can drop down to energy and environment because, really, frankly, that is my focus. I mean, to me, there's no other major issue for me than our environment. I don't know what anybody's thinking about. To me, healthcare, the reason we have to have healthcare, the reason that our population is so sick and unhealthy is because of our environment. I mean, just this is the net result of the Trump administration. Climate skeptics asked Trump to withdraw from UN nation. I mean, UN agency. And you know what? He just might actually do that. That is something that he just might actually do. Greens launch ads against two GOP senators for Pruitt votes. Well, good. They ought to, because Pruitt is going to gut the EPA. He's going to oversee the closure of the EPA, in fact. That's his job. That's why they hired him. He doesn't believe in the EPA. And you know that the House has already submitted a bill that says the EPA will terminate on 12/31/2018. That's next year, folks. That's right after the elections. Don't we have like a quick election in 2018 where all the senators get reelected? Well, I hope they don't get reelected. I hope Chaffetz, I hope all these people, I hope they all go away. Automakers ask EPA to withdraw Obama-era emission standards. Chaffetz probing Park's tweet welcoming new monument. I wonder what the new monument is. I'm going to open that up. New EPA chief's emails reveal coordination with oil interests. You think? That is probably not something new either. Like, let's get a grip. This is the part that this is why Trump got elected, because people really believed he was not part of that corruption. People genuinely believed that he was gonna. In fact, I heard a video yesterday with this guy talking, saying that Trump was a victim, that there's this war going on around him, and he's being put in the middle. And they're going to not let him do anything that he wants to do. I think that's just pure psychosis, people defending Trump. He is A, part of the deep state, and B, dumber than dirt. He does not comprehend the complexity of the government. I mean, yeah, he went to Wharton and got a BA. I'd love to see his grade point average, probably a 2.0 average student. Even if he did well, like, he doesn't understand it. He's bankrupted six times, four times for sure, and six at a distance, two at a distance. He doesn't understand the complexity of finances and running things. He's a great deal maker. Yeah, what? I don't know how anybody believed him. And this is what we are getting. You know? Wow. Well, let's open up Chaffetz's monument. Let's see what monument did he really love. Let's see, he tweeted about Bryce. This was in the Bryce National Park. Designated more than 1.35 million bare acres National Monument Park to Northern Utah. May reveal that the park's official had advance notice. Welcome to Family Bear Ears in Old Butte, New Mexico. A hopeful slot in our front desk has been held for you, the account tweeted. So that means that they knew. That's what this is. So they're designating the Bryce Canyon National Park. Let's see. Well, Mr. Chaffetz ought to be doing some indictments instead of tweeting about a frickin' national park. That's what I think. It is outrageous what the Republicans are participating in, because it's on their heads. New EPA's chief's emails reveal coordination with oil interests. Again, this is not an accident. These are Trump's picks, folks. I mean, we need to be prepared for serious oil spills, losing our water supply. There's going to be quite a bit of things that is going to happen negatively in this country because of the wrecking ball crew. This isn't like in the
I believe that
60s.
we.
This isn't like in the 60s where they went in, and or the 50s where they went in and toppled dictators and installed people. They're toppling our government, yes, but they're going to cause us some serious environmental catastrophes. Rick Perry at the head of the Department of Energy, the man who couldn't even remember the name of it. He oversaw one of the greatest nuclear spills in Texas history, and then immediately went to go sit on the board of the company, the nuclear waste company that spilled the waste. I mean, Rick, these people are so callous and have no regard for human life. This is the part of the conversation about nuclear that just blows me away. I am still nonplussed over it. My listeners have listened to me talk about this to numerous guests. The callousness of just the sheer callousness, the disregard for pain and suffering that's being caused by nuclear contamination, by chemical contamination, the pain and suffering that is happening on our planet right now. Not just with the humans, with the animals. We don't see their pain and suffering. It's beyond comprehension how cruel it is. Oh, man. Let me see if I can poke into this. He's talking about, let me see if I'll just read the first email. It says, emails from the new Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Scott Pruitt's tenure as Oklahoma Attorney General reveal several instances of coordination between his office and oil interests in his state. The Center for Media and Democracy released the emails on Wednesday, one day after Pruitt's former office turned them over to a state court in Oklahoma. The group said it received 7,564 pages of emails from Pruitt's office overall. Let's see. Senate Democrats, all but two of them who voted against Pruitt's nomination, insisted the vote be delayed until after the emails were released. They said the emails could show close ties between Pruitt's office and the Oklahoma fuel industry, a sector that had defended his tenure as the state attorney general. This is really amazing. So now, okay, we find out that the guy has close ties to the oil industry, but then what? Now that he's already been appointed, it's up to whom? Do we have a mechanism to remove it? Not unless the Republicans want to do it. I mean, this is the outrage. They call themselves conservatives. This is in no way conservative. This is not at all. This is fascism. When the state helps support a private industry, that is fascism, folks. That's the classic definition of it. This is not just like a bureaucratic authoritarianism regime, you know, but these people are actually having no, they do not, I think what it is they're completely uneducated maybe. Maybe they're utilizing Trump's denseness. I mean, the people around them certainly are educated and smart, except for maybe Bannon. I don't know. Bannon, I think, is a dangerous psychopath. If you ask me, he looks like a cocaine addict. I'm just going to say that straight out. I used to work for one, and I'll tell you what, he looks just like my ex-boss's face. Among the documents released yesterday, the CMD found the oil and gas lobby group America Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturing coordinated opposition in 2013 and to both the Renewable Fuel Standard Program and ozone limits in Pruitt's office. While AFPM was making its own case against the RFS, that's the Renewable Fuel Standard Program, with the American Petroleum Institute, it provided Pruitt with a template language for an Oklahoma petition, noting this argument is more credible coming from a state. Wow. Later that year, Pruitt did file opposition to both the RFS and ozone limits, and no doubt used that template. So there are three things and, you know, blah, blah. To be honest, are we shocked? No, this is why they did it. This is why I do not understand people saying that Trump is a good, honest man. No, he's not. He's either completely dense or he's one of them. And frankly, he's one of them. I mean, I did some background and I don't have all the details on it. Let me see if I can pull it up. Trump Tower, I think it was Trump Tower, who he, you know, I was looking into how did he get his little tiny bit, his background of these buildings that he has in the United States. He bought them both. They were both CIA fronts. They're both connected to the CIA. That is not an accident. He said, oh, I leveraged the money. Really? He leveraged the money in a building where there was a CIA front that had been busted. So then he was able to get it, what, when the building was, you know, under suspicion, so that meant he got it for a deal. Are Americans really that dense to think that this guy is not connected? Oh, there Shaz is. I wonder if he wants to join us. Let me ask him. I mean, I'm typing. This is the music, folks. My little I'm typing that. I guess that was the music. I hope he joined us because Shaziz has these really good ideas. And I don't understand science, as all of you know who listens to my show. So let me see if I can add him to the group call. Hold on. Yay, that's super. Came right at the right time. I just couldn't stomach listening to those people.
Hello.
Hi, Shaziz. Thank you. Welcome for joining us here on UCY.TV. You're with Lonnie Clark on the Age of Fission radio show. Thanks for connecting. I'm really grateful that you're on.
Oh, well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, my listeners, I sort of did my impromptu. Okay, what am I going to do? I read a poem and I've been like talking politics, going to the Hill, looking at all these, like, seriously, we're talking about. And I had just literally just said, I got to stop reading this because I can't take it anymore. And then you called. So thank you. You rescued us. I probably would have gone back to reading more poetry. So anyways, so it's just is, let me, why don't you introduce yourself so I don't mangle it? Why don't you tell us who you are and your ideas? This, I heard you, you and I were guests on another radio show where you gave some ideas about alternative energy and about remediating the nuclear contamination. So why don't you give us a little bit of background about who you are and how people can find you?
Well, it's really simple. Just Google Shaziz, that's Shaziz, and look for Mad Science, and you'll find me. I'm on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, all over the place. Pretty
How
easy.
Many followers do you have, if you don't mind me asking? Do you have a boatload?
Let me go look on my YouTube channel. Is about 7,600 people, so it's really not a lot.
That's a lot. 7,600 people is a lot. That's a lot.
Well, in the grand scheme of things, it's not about the numbers for me. It's more, I'm trying to, I call it mad science for a reason. If you look out there and you see what's going on in our environment and with government and carbon taxing and all the craziness going on, I'm sitting out there telling people we got every single answer to every single question to resolve all the problems of this world. It's just a matter we got to come together and do it. I mean, we're sitting in here in the year 2017, and we still hear about people having to drink dirty water and people starving in this world and homelessness. And I'm sitting here telling them that the laws of physics, the science, everything that we need to know, all the existing technology is available right now to literally build clean running vehicles, clean running generating systems. I mean, after all, it was the government and the environmentalists and all the people out there that said that we needed to find clean, renewable, alternative energy sources. So I come in here to answer the call. Right? But in the process of this, I found more resistance from supposedly educated people and then a heck of a lot more resistance from not-so-educated people. You know, it's just... I'm starting to wonder whether the world really wants to be clean, renewable. We got the technology right now to literally build machinery that will work in perfect harmony with nature. And it doesn't defy any of the known laws of physics. The only reason why the math wouldn't add up is because the math is set up to run like the internal combustion engine, for example. All right, well, there's certain things that you have to follow in order to get that engine to run the way that it does right now. All right, well, even the best engine that you got out there on the market today is so energy inefficient and ridiculously wasteful that, you know, somebody like me stepping back and looking at the big picture says, wait a second. If you take and modify this just a hair right there, instead of dumping all that fuel in there, which is not necessary to do the combustion process, only put in what you need to run that engine, you could not only get that engine to last a lot longer, you could get that engine to have a perfectly clean burn every single time it fires. And in reality, when the more you run it, the less fuel it should take to run the doggone thing. And so I do all these alternative energy things. I'm always putting out these
Are
little...
you off the grid, Shaziz?
No, I'm not off the grid. Basically, when I do go off the grid, I'm going to go off the grid in style. It's going to be fun.
Well,
But
so how can people? Well, let's take some simple things because, this is the thing that intrigued me when we were on this other show is you were talking, besides phytoremediation, you were talking about being able to, I mean, it's not just nuclear contamination, it's everything. We're just sitting in a pile of trash, basically, on the planet, and it's killing the life systems on our planet. How is there systems that we can create that can manage that and diffuse it and make it
Well,
tenable?
right now, nature is the most powerful force in existence. And nature is more powerful than man. Now, man has the capability of literally polluting our own fishbowl in general vicinities. But take man out of the equation. Nature has all the mechanisms in place to literally clean the environment. I mean, put everything back where it was. So if we start learning how nature does it and start utilizing those things that we already know, we can not only filter out our waters and literally clean up our mess, and by understanding things in like you don't even have to get rid of the internal combustion engine. You could just run it off of a cleaner type of fuel, or if you're still going to use crude oil, modify that to literally burn a perfect burn every time so that you don't have carbon emissions coming out the back. And so, yeah, we got the technology right now to literally start cleaning up. And as far as all the toxic radioactive material stored underground, we got enough energy on this planet right now stored underneath the ground under the guise of radioactive waste that would literally run every single light bulb 7 days a week, 365 days a year for the next 25,000 years, and it's just sitting under there as waste.
Well, look, this is not really my concern about what's sitting under there. What I'm concerned about is how they've stored it, because it's not going to last. Those containers are not going to last as long as the waste. And the current waste and contamination, I mean, Fukushima is going on 6 years. They haven't even looked, they can't even get near it.
Yeah, they can't get to the core because right now the core is probably encased in glass right now. It's probably, if it made it through the concrete floor underneath
It
there,
did. It
those
did. They've seen, they know it made it through the concrete floor.
they got a big hot radioactive ball of glass down there.
Well,
Anyway.
what do you mean? You don't think it's been burning down to the core? You don't think it burns past that? What happens when it goes past the ground? Because look, I'm not a scientist, so this is
Well,
where my capacity to really, and I've had people yell at me about this because they say, "Well, you should learn it," but it I keep asking the same questions, but this is a different concept. I thought that once it burned past the outer, like the inner shell, then the outer shell, where they know that it's burned through that outer concrete, doesn't it bore down into the ground?
it's not physically or scientifically even possible for that core to make it past a certain layer of the ground, because if you've ever looked back in all the different nuclear tests, there's actually stuff out there that were when they blasted off the atomic bombs out there to test them out, you find big chunks of glass where the radiation or the explosion and the heat and all that basically superheated the sand and turned it into glass. Well, if you got a hot molten deal, it takes around about 2,000 degrees or something like that. I can't remember what the actual temperature is. I'll have to look it up. So if I misquoted the numbers, then hold me to it. But either way, it takes around about that temperature to melt glass. Well, if it's hot enough to melt through concrete is basically made up of sand and limestone, and so it basically melted the glass, which turned the concrete soupy, and then it fell through the floor, and it hit another layer of glass on the way down, basically another layer of sand. And so if you got something really hot and you pass it through, it'll start coating itself up with whatever is of a lesser melting temperature, and it'll keep coating itself and keep coating itself, and eventually the glass will get so thick that the insulation factor won't allow it to melt anymore from that point on. So if this core actually made it through the concrete and then down up underneath the foundation of the building, it is literally right now encased in glass. It'll get to a point where it can't go any farther. And so I'm not even remotely concerned about the core sitting there, other than the fact that if there's any water nearby, it's going to do what it does because of radioactivity from the uranium being depleted is still sending out waves, kind of like a microwave, you know.
There is water nearby. Do you understand the geography of that area? It's sitting right on top of a river.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm trying to get at. But that water temperature, can actually affect the weather conditions around that particular area. I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, heat cools or heat rises mm-hmm. and cold air falls. Well, the same thing would happen with water. If you got hot water, it's going to rise to the surface and the cold air is going to fall. Well, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. So if you heat this side up a whole lot, well, then that's going to affect the Gulf Stream underneath there. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I do get you. And I think that's partly what's happening, too. I think this is why we're seeing mass animal deaths really dramatically increase in the last 6 years, because I think it's not just heating up the ocean. What it's doing is it's contaminating and harming the microscopic life. It can't sustain its life in that contaminated water. So the food chain is just, the whole ecology of the Pacific Ocean is just being thrown off kilter. We're having
anybody who's ever had a fish tank, whether it be freshwater fish or saltwater fish, knows that fish can be temperature sensitive, and you always have to make sure that it don't get too hot for them or it don't get too cold for them. Well, the ocean's got its own basically a temperature environment down there, and so if you put a hot river water going up underneath there, coming out from underneath that where that radioactive deal is heating up the water, in that general area, it's going to start killing off anything that's not temperature sensitive that can't get out of the way fast enough.
Well, and not even just temperature sensitive. That can the plutonium, all the poisons and the toxins. It's just. It's so. Let me ask you this: first off, do you follow this thing with Fukushima? Are you current on all the latest information?
Well, I ain't really got a whole lot of up to date information.
Okay.
Research from when it actually first started. What's this been going on about 5 years?
6 years. It's 6 years now.
And I don't understand why they ain't got it resolved already. Because first off, if you know you're sitting on a water table, that's one of your number one priorities. You get that resolved. If you had to, you get a bunch of backhoes in there and you dig as deep as you have to until you're almost to hit water and build a concrete barrier around the entire deal.
They attempted to do that, and then they put in an ice wall. That's the other, that instead of building a concrete, they did build a concrete. It melted right through it. So then they said, well, let's build an ice wall around it so that it'll, cool it down before it gets into it. So that was their idea. But the ice wall just made the foundation slippery. That failed too.
Do you understand the basic workings of a reactor, a nuclear reactor?
After 6 years, I think I do.
Okay. Well, they take and refine, radioactive material into highly refined hot rods. They put these hot rods down inside the water. It basically superheats the water and boils it into steam, and they use that to turn turbines and such. Well, they also have what's called a control rod in there.
Right.
That material is actually made to slow down the boiling temperature of the water by grabbing up some of those radioactive isotopes as they come out the deal. And so that particular material that they use for the radioactive control rods could literally be used to slow down temperature rise in that area. You see what I'm saying? By mixing it with sand stuff. And so any of the energy that's coming off of there would be slowed down at the very least by that. That would help the process out where it wouldn't be so detrimental to the local water supply.
Well, they recently had a robot that melted, very expensive robot that Toshiba, they were touting it, and it went in, and then it did get pictures, but then it melted, so it died afterwards. They had to they said they decommissioned it or something. It was totally hilarious. And this statement from TEPCO was that they couldn't tell if it melted from the high level of radioactivity or if it was from being smashed by a piece of equipment. I mean, the denial that they're doing in Fukushima about this, I don't know why they're not addressing it. It's really sad. They're forcing people to move back there. And, well, you know.
If I was to be able to see how they actually built this robot, more than likely what ended up happening is all the radiation literally overpowered the circuitry inside there.
No doubt.
And so with that said, knowing you can destroy that robot, you could also collect that energy off of that deal and guide that energy where you want it to go. It's so damn, sorry about that, it's so ridiculously simple in my mind how to solve this issue. It's frustrating.
Well, maybe that's really the issue, isn't it? Maybe it's because it's really simple, they're not doing it because they want to make as much money as possible. To me, it all seems driven by this whole, all of it seems driven by greed. Really, literally, that's it. That's all it seems to be.
Well, somebody needs to go back in and check and see what all was going on in that general area. Like, did they find anything in that general area of value that they would want to run people up out of there so that they could turn around and buy that land for dirt? Because that is a possibility. I can't see, 5 or 6 years into this, if it was as bad as information you get, you would think that the governments of the world would recognize, because if you lose your food chain and the ocean dies off, well, it's only a matter of time before people are in line as well.
I think that's intentional, Shaziz. I honestly, in the beginning, I used to think that they didn't, they were just incompetent and greedy, but look, they know this is, it's not just an extinction level event, it's an extermination level event. It's a cacophony of disregard. They know exactly what they do. I mean, what's really ironic about it is they don't even care about their own children. That's what stuns me.
You may be closer to right than you can think, because it's either one of two things. They're either flat out stupid and hadn't paid attention in science, or they're doing it deliberately. There's only two options here, because if it's a extinction level event and you ain't got every single government on the planet over there trying to resolve this right now, either number one, it's not as bad as they said it was, or they just don't care because, hey, they're building their bunkers and they're going to go up inside there and think they're going to ride it out. But in reality, it's going to backfire in their face if they do.
I think that's honestly, they really believe that. They're hoping it's not as bad as they think it is, because that would really break the entire economy. The entire economy of the planet would. We're so invested in nuclear, like so much, like financially rests on this, that I think that they're just hoping it will be okay.
The thing about it is, it makes me so mad, is we're using slightly modern technology such as radioactive material to boil water, mixed with ancient technologies such as steam generation. NASA supposedly sent a probe all the way to Pluto. But keep in mind, this thing left 9 years prior to when the picture ever even got here. All right, so 9 years ago, I'm just saying, as if we left, if we just got the picture today. 9 years ago, this thing was traveling through space and finally made it down there. Using a piece of plutonium, was able to have a thermal electric generator that would produce over 200 watts of power. It was so far away that if you look back at the sun looked like a little dot in the sky. And so they were able to send this technology all the way through millions of miles through space, get down there, produce over 200 watts, run all the equipment, light up the planet so you can see it, and take a picture of it, and then send it back through space to us, and now we got a picture of what they say is Pluto. If that technology exists, and that technology could be used in places like Fukushima to literally drain off the radioactive waste that's coming off of there, because that's going to continue to deplete. It's hot. When they made them rods, it's really hot. And so it's trying to, basically, nature's trying to balance itself back out. Well, in the process of that, if you got some sort of shielding like they use to control that reaction by slowing down the temperature of the water boiling, you know, by grabbing up some of them isotopes, then one should be able to take that same technology, surround the entire deal, throw some coils in between there, and grab up that energy just like the probe supposedly done all the way to Pluto. So the technology's there. You know, we don't have to keep dumping hot water, radioactive water, into the doggone ocean.
Do you think they're doing it because they... See, I actually am beginning to believe it's intentional. I did not... I mean, and it's... I think it really... I honestly... as horrific as it sounds, I think they really have an intent. They think they believe that maybe they have this technology and they figure when they finish cleaning off the earth, then they'll remediate the land and bring earth back to where it's supposed to be if we have that technology.
Well, there's one other thing out there that I really haven't heard a whole lot about, and that's that to do with the BP oil spill and that chemical corrective that they've been putting into the water. They still, to this day, are putting corrective in the water.
Yes, they are. And it actually has actually, there's been some lawsuits over this, and they've literally changed the environment down there. And I read this article about a year ago, and I'm sorry I can't quote it exactly, but it said that they're basically the corrective and the oil spill, the oil, but mostly the corexit is responsible for changing the Gulf Stream. And this is why Europe is having these terrible floods and all this heavy snow, because of the Gulf Stream doesn't bring that warm water over. It's totally changed the flow of the water, and it's made the entire. But this is exactly right. This is why we can't separate nuclear contamination from chemical contamination, because they're both just as horrific. Like, these are intentional assaults on our environment, just like the assaults on our bodies. You know, they try to give us radioactive therapy. Like, really? You're going to shoot radiation into my body? I don't think so.
Well, that whole radiation chemotherapy kind of stuff right there is just sheer, it's madness.
It is madness, yes.
You don't radiate somebody's body and destroy their immune system and expect them to get better. You know, there's so many natural remedies out there that it's mind-blowing.
Right.
That you can't.
It's like snake oil salesman with super clean environment, you know?
It's outrageous. Like, butchers, you go to the doctor, you might as well be going to the butcher, because he's going to do just as good a surgery on you.
She says, look, we have 15 minutes left, and I hope you can come back and give us a full hour again, but I really want to talk to people about what can we do in our daily lives. What are some of the things that we can start doing that will help us? Is there things that we can do, technology that we can easily implement that will help us offset some of the assault on our environment and on our health?
You mean as far as like frequency radiation and all that?
Yeah, or any of that stuff. Like, there's so much. I mean, you know, there's a phrase in sales that says, you don't know what you don't know until you know you don't know it, right?
Well,
So I don't even know the questions to ask, but from what you said, it sounds like there's things that we could probably implement in our own lives, simple things that we could do.
Well,
or be...
the first step you can make and save yourself a lot of money is go around your house and do an energy assessment of what's running whenever you're not using it and start shutting it off. Like, you know, one of the craziest things after just a little digital alarm clock, if you look at the actual circuit inside there, it only takes either 9 volts AC or 9 volt DC to run this particular item. And, you know, it depends on which one you got, which whether it's AC or DC. Ultimately, it's changed into DC so you can run the LEDs. But nonetheless, you've got a little power supply that you plug in the wall there, and it is running off 120 volts AC just so that it can step that voltage down to 9 volts AC. So you got an energy hog running right out of the gate. That transformer is going all day long, every day, to run that clock. If you modify a few things, you could actually build a system where, like a surge protector, where you have a 9-volt slot, you got a 10-volt and a 12-volt slot or whatever. Somebody, if they're good at electronics, had literally worked that out to where you could run all your appliances on only what it necessary to run. But the easiest portion is to save your doggone money is to put it all on one power strip that, you know, ain't going to burn the power strip out, but shut the thing off when you're not using it, because even your TV, while it's sitting there idling, is wasted energy. All your cell phone chargers, take them out of the wall when you're not using them because they're wasting energy, and that'll save you a heck of a lot more money that you could then in turn reinvest in trying to get off the grid altogether. And you don't have to do it all in one shot. Take one of your rooms off of the grid every month or two. You know, save that money back that you save from your electrical bill and take the next room off the power grid. Change over from different types of lighting systems to something you're comfortable with. And it's so ridiculously simple. It's just when most people think about getting off the power grid, They think about how much it costs to go out and buy them a huge solar panel set or a generator. It's not feasible for your average Joe to be able to afford that in the world that we live in right now. So
yeah, I was in one of my classes, my science classes. This guy did this presentation. It was a speech class, actually. He gave a speech on how if you could unplug all of the unused during your day, unplug all the appliances, anything that's in a plug, just unplug your stuff when you leave the house and only plug back in those which you use. He said you save about 15% on your electricity bill.
Yep. And by modifying some of the existing technology, that's what I'm working on now, we can literally run an internal combustion engine off of straight distilled water, no additives whatsoever. And when the exhaust comes out the other end, you end up with water. It just breaks the hydrogen and oxygen down and uses it for combustion and then sends it on down the line. So the technology's already been around. Stan Myers was driving around a dune buggy in 1979 using hydrogen technology. Farmers used to inject small quantities of water into their tractor to save on fuel. It goes on and on. This technology and science that I'm talking about, we have access to the knowledge right now. And if you can get in your local neighborhoods and start building your little networks of mechanics and people, and they're willing to think outside the box, you can re-engineer, you know, start off with one person and build them a generator to take them off the power grid. It's using technology such as compressor technology, diesel engines, internal combustion engines, and all the condensation, like a dehumidifier. We could build a car right now that would pick its fuel up as you were driving down the road. It's it's ridiculous. But all of this, you know, if you take all those things and step back and look at the big pictures, you take the best out of a diesel engine and the best out of each one of these, and you modify yourself, build yourself an engine, you can get a car to run right straight off of distilled water, no additives, no pollution, and you would use such an efficient manner that heck, you could run it all day long, every day, heat your house and run all your lights and never have to shut it off.
Wow.
It's not science fiction. It's science fact. Everything I'm talking about is proven technology. It's been around since way back in the 1800s. They had their first plasma reactor in the 1800s. They called it a mercury arc rectifier. Had they'd have known back then what they actually had and what they could actually do with that, you know, the plasma reactor that I'm working on right now, it's not just a water heater that runs in the milliamp range. It'll do the same thing as your hot water heater in your house, but it's a fuel conditioner if you decide to use it for, you know, treating your fuel before it ever even goes into the combustion chamber. You can get visible light off of it, heat, and DC current out the other side. And it's all based off of the mercury arc rectifier and simple science that's been around since all the way back then, the late 1800s.
So this is the thing. It seems to me this is the kind of the common recurring theme is the reason none of this has been implemented, really, for the same reason they haven't corrected the nuclear pollution or any of the chemical. It's all about money. It's greed. It's total greed.
That's it. I wrote a letter the other day and I passed it around to everybody, to the President of the United States. Told him, look, the so-called energy crisis, we can fix it. I'm just paraphrasing, but I can actually give you a link to the letter that I wrote to him just to see if I would get a response. Because
Is it on your Facebook page or on your YouTube channel or something?
Yeah, it's on my Facebook page. It's also posted in one of the chat rooms on the superchat.html there at shazizradio.com. And I could actually pass you a link through Skype to it.
Okay. But
the simple is, you know, if the government really is interested in reducing carbon emissions, which I'm not a believer of man-made global warming outside of, you know, what we talked about with radioactive stuff and polluting the ocean, changing the jet stream, which in turn changes the Gulf Stream, vice versa.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, to that extent, we can disrupt nature and nature will fight back when nature tries to balance itself back out. But if they're really serious about it, about, you know, how we gotta fight global warming, climate change, or climate disruption, or whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up, if they're really serious about it and the environmentalists really seriously want to get this done, I'm sitting here telling you, we got the answer. We got every single answer, all the technology necessary, all the science to back it up. It doesn't defy any of the known laws of physics. It's just taking those pieces of the puzzle and putting them in the right order. And I'm not asking for fame or fortune or any kind of finance. I'm just telling you, I will show you exactly how to put the doggone thing together. Bring your brilliant minds to the table and put us in a machine shop with what we need to do. And we'll come out of there in 30 days, with less than 30 days, with the perfect running generator that uses everything we've already been taught right there out of the gate. But regardless, they don't seem to be too serious about it because, like I said, I emailed the President of the United States. We'll see if I get a response. I bet I don't.
Oh, no.
But they want the money from the oil. They want the money from the power companies. That's all about money. It's the whole doggone thing. The only way any of this is going to get done is when the average Joe finally gets tired of being a underneath the thumb of the power companies and the industries and decides to do it themselves. We get out there, we build these devices, we put them in people's...
Well, we may have to. You know, the EPA, the new EPA's chief, the new EPA guy, Pruitt, that they just approved, his emails came out today. They approved him, even though his emails had not, he didn't have full disclosure before they approved him. His email shows that he has a coordination of oil interests, like he actually promotes oil interests. But, you know, the EPA is going to be gutted. The Trump Nation plans on closing the EPA on 12/31/2018. I mean, so we may have to really figure out a way to do our own clean oil after we get polluted enough. People may decide to just do it.
Two notes on what you said. The EPA for one is a joke, because when they dumped that mind waste down the river, they just said, oh, you know, don't worry, just wait
sorry
for-
Yeah, it's every polluter's advocate. I get you. I get you. But you know what? This is my thing, Shaziz. We don't need to gut these agencies. We need to clean them up.
Yeah.
I think we do need regulatory commissions. I do think we need the EPA, the Department of Education. We need the Department of, but we need them to be honest, not advocates. We
Yeah.
need them to, like, challenge the oil interests, the nuclear. We need them to demand that they be held accountable instead of giving them a pass every time they have. This is the reason St. Louis is on fire, is because the EPA is just like, oh, well, it's not our problem. Let's let Republic Services deal with it.
When they busted that mine open and flushed all that crud down the river, they told the people downstream, just wait for it to float by, and then you can start drinking the water again.
Right, don't worry about it.
But on the oil industry, we can beat them at their own game just by making these doggone cars and stuff use so much tiny amount of fuel, it'd be ridiculous. And if they jack the price of fuel up as far as gasoline, which we can get a perfect clean burn every single time, but even at that, if they jack the prices up where we can't afford them, heck, we just stop putting gas in our gas tanks and running it off of water. It's, you know.
Is that an easy conversion, though, on these new, on the cars?
Well, first you got to understand how the doggone thing works. you could take it and modify any engine to run off of hydrogen, but you got to know what you're doing when you do it, because it's a different type of burn. These weren't engineered to run like this, but you can adjust these things to literally run properly. It's funny because the Mythbusters came out to try to bust the myth of running your car off of hydrogen cells. And in the process, they confirmed that you can run your car off of hydrogen cells, but they made a common mistake by not having no flashback arrestor on the engine, and they get this big old backfire, which they're like, this is why you don't want to run it on hydrogen, because you blow yourself up or something like that. Well, that's stupid. Anybody who's studied hydrogen technology knows that you don't put that much fuel down in there, and you got to have a flashback arrestor in order to keep that flame from going back, because hydrogen is highly implosive, plus you're mixing oxygen, which is explosive. But we can modify, we can vaporize that water into such a tiny molecule to its smallest points and put that into the combustion chamber and run that and using it. Check this out. When Fukushima had a hydrogen explosion, the reason why it had a hydrogen explosion was because all that water was vaporized and then it was pressurized and then it reached a certain temperature where it self-combusted and exploded. Well, when that happened, any electrical around, that just ignites any hydrogen in the air, any oxygen or whatever, and you get this big loud boom. So if that worked on that scale, it will also work on a micro scale, such as actually running it in every single internal combustion engine that's already on the market today. It's not rocket science. And the fact that you've got a catalytic converter that you can spray hydrogen and oxygen right in on that catalytic converter with absolutely no flame going whatsoever. And you can bring that catalytic converter, because of the chemical reaction of the catalyst when that hydrogen and oxygen comes in contact with it, you can raise it up over 600 degrees inside that catalytic converter. So you've got right there a way that where you can heat your house with water.
Wow. Well, Shaziz, we have about 45 seconds left. I'm so grateful that you called, that you connected with me, that we were able to get you on the line. I hope you'll come back. I'll reach out to you and we'll reschedule again soon, because I'm somewhat dense on these things, so you may have to repeat this. I am one of those people you need to keep repeating these concepts to. I think it helps it firm it up in everybody's mind. But thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Lonnie Clark with Shaziz, the mad scientist. You can find him on YouTube, his Facebook page, Shazizz. Put your courage feet on. Take some action. Thanks, Shaziz, for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's really great. Thank you. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
This is Ozzy Skateboard